It was in this way, sir. You see me now, with my back like a camel and my ribs all awry. But there was a time when Corporal Henry Wood was the smartest man in the 117th foot. We were in India then, in cantonments, at a place we'll call Burti. Barclay, who died the other day, was sergeant in the same company as myself, and the belle of the regiment, aye, and the finest girl that ever had the breath of life between her lips was Nancy Devoy, the daughter of the colour sergeant. There were two men that loved her, and one that she loved. And you'll smile when you look at this poor thing huddled before the fire and hear me say that it was for my good looks that she loved me. Well, though I had her heart, her father was set upon her marrying Barclay. I was a harum scarum reckless lad, and he had had an education, was already marked for the sword belt. But the girl held true to me, and it seemed that I would have had her when the mutiny broke out and all hell was loose in the country. We were shut up in Burti, the regiment of us, with half a battery of artillery, a company of Sikhs, and a lot of civilians and women folk. There were 10,000 rebels round us, and they were as keen as a set of terriers round a rat cage. About the second week of it, our water gave out, and it was a question whether we could communicate with General Neill's column, which was moving up country. It was our only chance, for we could not hope to fight our way out with all the women and children, so I volunteered to go out and to warn General Neill of our danger. My offer was accepted, and I talked it over with Sergeant Barclay, who was supposed to know the ground better than any other man, and who drew up a route by which I might get through the rebel lines. At 10 o'clock the same night I started off upon my journey. There were 1,000 lives to save, but it was of only one that I was thinking when I dropped over the wall that night. My way ran down a dried-up watercourse, which we hoped would screen me from the enemy's sentries, but as I crept round the corner of it, I walked right into 6 of them who were crouching down in the dark waiting for me. In an instant I was stunned with a blow and bound hand and foot. But the real blow was to my heart and not to my head. For as I came to and listened to as much as I could understand of their talk, I heard enough to tell me that my comrade, the very man who had arranged the way I was to take, had betrayed me by means of a native servant into the hands of the enemy.